New York State is currently taking public comments on its recommended maximum contaminant levels, also known as MCLs, for three contaminants, 1,4-dioxane, PFOA, and PFOS. The recommended levels are respectively 1 part per billion and 10 parts per trillion for PFOA and PFOS, which, as you might recall, are the contaminants found in the drinking water of Hoosick Falls. But a coalition of environmental groups wants the state to go a bit further and hold public hearings on these levels. Why? Well, let's find out. Joining us with more is Anna Reed. She's a staff scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council. Anna, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
So quickly remind us why PFOS and PFOAs are dangerous and are considered contaminants and are dangerous to ingest.
PFOA and PFOS are two of a large class of chemicals called per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS chemicals, and they're used for all types of non-stick, non-stain-resistant functions. However, society has started to realize, and scientists have started to realize, that the chemicals don't break down in our environment once they're released. They are highly mobile in the aqueous environment. So once they're released into our environment, the contamination spreads really quickly. And they're starting to become associated with a lot of different types of adverse health effects, including cancer, immune system suppression, developmental harm, reproductive harm. And so the use of these chemicals has become of growing concern. And we've been starting to find high levels of contamination all over the country.
So the state, New York State, has put has recommended 10 parts per trillion for these PFOA, PFOS chemicals. Is that not enough?
Well, our concern is that there's a concentration on just two chemicals out of thousands of chemicals within the class. Data monitoring drinking water, even our human levels in human bodies, show that we're exposed to many different types of PFAS chemicals, not just the two. And our concern is because we're exposed to an unknown number of PFAS at a time, that we're not going to be protected by just regulating two of these chemicals.
So it's not enough as far as you're concerned?
No, absolutely not. There are actually four PFAS chemicals that are found in over 90% of Americans, and yet we're still concentrating on just those two. And other studies show that there are hundreds of different types of chemicals out there that we're also being exposed to through our consumer products, our food, and our water.
Does this include 1,4-dioxane, or is that sort of a different flavor of contaminant?
Yeah, that's a different type of contaminant, but also of concern, but it's not a PFAS chemical.
Gotcha. What we're going to do is take a break. My guest today is Anna Reed. She's a staff scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council. And when we come back, we're going to find out why it is that the NRDC and some other groups want public hearings on the levels of PFAS chemicals. We'll be right back.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
My guest again is Anna Reed. She's with the NRDC. So I guess the NRDC and some other groups are saying, hold on here, DOH, let's have a public hearing on this. Why? Why is that so important?
Well, first of all, the public should be involved in these decisions. That's the normal course of action when we're setting regulations and standards, especially considering most states that are looking at regulating PFAS contamination. They release technical documents showing their work, how they came up with that number. And then there's a process where scientists or other public health groups can weigh in on what they've done and provide their own opinions on whether or not they feel like those levels and what the type of work that was done to arrive at those levels, whether those are protective of human health. And that has not happened in New York.
All right. You also argue that holding a public hearing is consistent with provisions of the New York Sanitary Code. Why is that relevant?
Well, in general, any type of regulation, whether it's federal or state, the process is that there is input from people that are being regulated, from the people that are being supposed to be protected. It's supposed to be a public process because it affects so many people's lives.
You know, this has been, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a minute, Anna. It's been so long since we found that the water, drinking water, was contaminated in Hoosick Falls.
Right.
And, you know, so many activists have been just urging DOH to come up with MCLs. Why not just say, hey, DOH is undertaking this important rulemaking. Let's just be happy with that.
I agree. Having some sort of protection is better than none. Absolutely. And I don't want to delay those protections from the people that are being affected. However, my concern is there are different types of PFAS out there that we're being exposed to. And some of them, depending on the two that are going to be regulated, there are certain types of treatments that can take them out of our water. But those treatments are not sufficient to take other types of PFAS out of our water. And what I'm concerned is if we focus on just these two chemicals, we will invest a lot of money into treatments that can take those chemicals, filter those chemicals out of our water. But 5-10 years down the line, when we realize how toxic these other smaller versions of these PFAS chemicals are, we will have to reinvest in a whole other type of technology in order to protect people from those types of new generation PFAS. And at the same time, it'll be 5, 10 years, 20 years before we get people protected from those other types of PFAS.
And people will be getting sick.
Yes.
You point out that there is guidance from the state's Environmental Quality Review Act on when an agency should conduct a public hearing. There are basically four different situations, circumstances, under which the state should conduct a public hearing, and it seems like all of them have been met.
Unfortunately, so I'm a scientist with NRDC, and I'm not a lawyer, so I can't comment further on that part. The lawyers that I work with are the ones that made that determination.
All right. The four factors are, for my listeners, the degree of interest in the action shown by the public. I think we all know that Hoosick Falls has gotten a lot of attention. Whether substantive or significant adverse environmental impacts have been identified, the adequacy of the mitigation measures, and the extent to which a public hearing can aid the agency decision-making process. So is there a reason, do you think, that the DOH wouldn't want to hold a public hearing?
I can't comment on why they wouldn't want to hold a public hearing. I would say that when you list those four factors, and again, as a scientist, not as a lawyer, I would say that showing adequacy of public health, of the public health measure, that's hard to show when there is no work for us to look at for how they came to those.
So their conclusions, you're hoping that their conclusions are made public anyway.
Yeah. So normally what happens is there's a whole what we call a risk assessment process where health officials and scientists look at they look for the health effect that occurs with the lowest dose. They acknowledge the uncertainty that in terms of how animals react to PFAS versus adults. There's all these processes that, you know, regulators have to make decisions along the way. It's based on science, but they have to make decisions. And the point is that if you don't show the type of decisions that they made, we can't evaluate how health protective their decisions are.
Gotcha. Now, is there a scientific consensus on the safety of these chemicals or not? Is there not a scientific consensus?
Well, there are scientific consensus statements on concern for the entire class of PFAS chemicals. So there's the Madrid statement signed by over 200 scientists and public health officials around the world saying that the entire class of PFAS is of concern. So that's the class of thousands of different chemicals that are highly fluorinated and look like similar to each other chemically because of their persistence, their ability to move in the environment, and their potential for toxicity in the human body.
So is there anything else that you want to say about the toxicity of PFAS chemicals or how the state is looking to regulate them?
My hope is that New York State and other states in the federal government start moving away from just concentrating on one or two chemicals and take a look at what is the real exposure environment that we're being exposed to and addressing that. It's a really hard thing to do both right in the in terms of regulation and scientifically, but it's what we need to do. It's what we consider kind of a public health crisis that requires thinking outside of the box. These are chemicals that we don't normally deal with. Normally, there's some sort of way for chemicals to degrade in our environment. It's not a permanent pollution situation, but that's the way it is with PFAS. Once they're in our environment, there's not much we can do about it. We need to stop releasing PFAS into our environment.
So they just stick around. They don't go anywhere.
They don't go anywhere. We're finding them in the Arctic. We're finding them in all types of animals and plants in our bodies, and they don't degrade. There's no natural way to get rid of them.
Should we be concerned, Anna, about these different chemicals accumulating in our body, not just PFOA and PFOS, but the whole range of chemicals that go through our bodies because of what we eat and drink?
That's what makes PFAS very hard to regulate and to study as scientists, because it's not like we get exposed to them and we have this what we call an acute effect or acute harm where we, die within a week or something like that. It's not that dramatic. What happens is it contributes to lower immune system. It contributes to our risk of increased cancer. These things take years for us to fully understand the consequences of being exposed to them in our bodies. And like I said before, they could be interacting within our bodies in ways that we can't predict. So having mixtures of unknown PFAS and also other types of pollutants is really potentially harmful for human health. We're seeing that in, there's a slow decrease in our ability to, in our reproductive health as a society. And that's, there's all these types of increased levels of cancer, and those are from accumulative exposures to different types of chemicals that are affecting our biology.
We've been speaking with Anna Reed, a staff scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council, which is urging the New York State Department of Health to hold a public hearing on PFOA and PFOS maximum contaminant levels. Anna, thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you for joining us. Our producer has been Tim Williams.
Howdy.
Our engineer, Dave White. I'm Susan Arbetter. You've been listening to The Capitol Press Room.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.